Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet Plus. As always, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Jake the Snake Schultz, and Derek Brandale. For once again, the fastest hour in hockey. Without any more games to play as the season concluded last night with the Florida Panthers crowned Stanley Cup champions for the second consecutive season.
Yay. Well played. Yay. Well played. That's a hockey team right there. Kip, I was talking with Daryl Sutter this summer, and he was telling me that...
Oh, can I pick up that name you just dropped?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to be a part of his book, Sam. I'll have you know.
A Daryl book.
Early promo. But talking to him about the cup, and he explained to me that once you've won the cup,
yes,
he still experiences some jealousy. Like, that's my cup. I won that cup. He wants to win it again. Like, he's not done with the cup.
Yeah.
How do you feel seeing the cup handed out?
I feel good. Yeah, I've got no issues.
You're happy to...
I look at my cup like I look at my high school years.
Yeah.
Like, just, right? Like
glory days plays in the background.
Like at,
glory days.
When you're like, have no worries in the world and you're just a kid and all of that. I'll tell you what I went through in a similar fashion was watching the Rangers' success after I was long gone. And they went to the finals, of course, right, with King Henry and came close on a couple occasions.
Alec Martinez in overtime?
Yes, and it's like... I don't want them to win.
Yeah, you want it to be the last.
Really?
Race.
Yes.
Well, it's like yes. Miami Dolphins, right?
If they win the cup, they're going to forget about our 1994 team.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't want that.
Yeah.
I went through that, and then at about, turn of the decade there, 2020, I'm like,
all right.
Yeah, that's enough of that. I want them to have success now, and it's now 30 years. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hold those emotions hostage forever. It's just selfish and greedy. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that don't remember 94 now of 30 years later.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I've ever experienced. But watching the cup being presented every year is actually a very good feel for me because whoever I'm beside at the time, I can turn around and say, I know exactly how that feels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just going to say. Like, we are sitting with a guy in the room that experienced what all those guys experienced last night, where it takes my breath away when they bring it out every time. Mm-hmm. Like, every time it's like, here it is.
Yeah, it's
like,
special.
Oh my God, look at that thing. Like, it is out of this world. And I can only imagine the emotions if my beloved Maple Leafs ever did it. But just even the Panthers, who I hate hoisting it, I'm like, oh, look at them. So good for them.
For every action, there's a reaction. And I will never forget in 94, and it's an iconic picture today for Vancouver Canuck fans. Sorry, Canuck fans. But it is Trevor Linden burying his hands in his face. Mm-hmm. I believe he's on one knee at the time at Madison Square Garden. And I do recall for a split second and all my hoopla going, oh, my God, that must just feel awful right now. Mm-hmm. And today we say the same thing for Connor McDavid.
Excuse my ignorance. How close was game 7 when you guys won it?
Nathan Lafayette hit the post with about 3 minutes to go.
Now I remember that.
Was the difference of that going into overtime in game 7.
Yeah. So part of it for you guys is probably relief, not knowing for sure that it was yours, you know, down to the wire. I wonder if it's different when that one felt pretty over. Like, by the time you got to the final buzzer, it's almost like you had time, Oilers players would have had time to mourn the loss of that game before the final buzzer went. That was Florida.
Wow.
Florida putting teams away.
What did you think? They pulled the goalie with, 6.5 minutes to go?
I thought it was way too early. way too early.
Me too.
You got McDavid and Draisaitl.
Me too.
Let them get to at least five, see if they can get one, start thinking about it.
Draw a penalty, for God's sakes. Get a power play goal at 3-1.
And I'm an early goalie pull guy. I like early goalie
pulls. I didn't mind it, but I was...
Like, Florida's good.
I was shocked when I saw Sam Bennett fire one in, and I looked up, and it was like 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, it was weird.
6:40-something.
Yeah.
Listen, I like the aggressive goalie pull, but three goals when you got two of the best guys on earth.
Okay. Yeah. So... I'm going to go back to yesterday's question, right? And now knowing the outcome, what is a bigger story right now? What do you feel like talking about the Florida Panthers and how great they are? Or do we talk about Edmonton Oilers and how disappointing this thing is? Like, I mean, we're in Canada at the end of the day. Okay, Florida, you're great, blah, 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 blah. But we live in Canada.
No, but Kip's right.
We live in Canada. That's the story.
Leads, leads, baby. Well,
the story's Edmonton.
But I feel like we owe Florida this, like, oh, and they, what a forecheck, and Bob's so solid,
whoa,
and Reinhardt
what a third line.
Listen, everyone knows now. We're 3 years into them doing this. We know that team is cream of the crop. They are the tops in the NHL and have been for years now. So there's not much else to add. So let's talk about
There isn't.
So let's talk about the Oilers. Anything last night change anything for you about how we talked about them, how you felt about them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
What
for you, Sam? What did
change? I know, like, I don't want to drive this into Leafland here, but I could tell you that if we came in here after two games where the Oilers had an unbelievable comeback in game four to even up the series, and everybody felt like, oh my God, that's the turning point of the series. It's going back to Edmonton. They're going to win this cup. And they go back there, and I know Florida's good, and I know they rolled them, but like they laid an egg there. Mm-hmm. And then you go down to Florida, and they rolled over, quite frankly. They had a good 5 minutes to start that game, I thought. They didn't get one to go.
A couple hits.
Like, if it was Toronto, all we would be talking about is how big of a choke job it was and how, like, no good these guys are. McDavid, was he -4 last night? Like, I just – the energy that everyone just praising the Panthers, and I get it. They're great. But there was a lot that happened with the Oilers that was no good after they came back in that series. Like, they should have lost that series in 5 if it wasn't for that miracle comeback. Like, I know it's – they're in the final and it's not – you can't compare that to the Leafs or whatever. I'm just – maybe I'm too fired up about it.
No, I'm with you in terms of the disappointment that I bought into, that this is a better team, a deeper team, a team that can certainly compete. I was anticipating one of the more memorable Stanley Cup finals in recent history. Didn't get it at all.
Well, after a couple OT games, everyone was like, you know, I think 3 of the first 4 games into OT, and everyone
well,
was
the first
like,
two
yes,
games,
close series, close
the first
series.
Two games were unbelievable.
But I will say.
They were unbelievable, but there were games that Florida could have easily won
so,
as well.
Here's my point.
So I'm sitting there going, like, sweep.
Well, it
could have been a sweep.
It was a 6-game series, 3 of the first 4 in overtime, which both sounds close. Edmonton had the lead in the series for 8%. Of the series.
8%.
Florida set the NHL record leading for 255 minutes, which was over 61% of the series. They were in control of every game at some point.
The history that I thought they were going to make that didn't make turned into maybe the history of the most lopsided 6-game series I've ever seen.
Wasn't that close.
Yeah. They didn't win one game in regulation.
Yeah.
I don't think Connor or
they couldn't
Leon
beat them over 60
regulation.
Minutes in one game.
Maybe Connor had the one. Connor had one regulation. And
goal.
Leon, yeah. Yeah. No.
When the game was over.
When it was 3. When it was 3-0 in game 5.
Leon had 2 OT winners.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that's pretty good.
But I mean, I think a lot of what we're going to talk about with the Oilers when it comes to picking apart their roster, which you do with every team that comes a little bit short, is they didn't look much closer than any other team was to beating that Florida team, whether it's Tampa Bay, Toronto. Who else did they
Carolina.
Beat? Carolina. Yeah, Carolina didn't have a sniff either.
No.
Like, that team was just better than everyone.
Yeah.
But it does make you, like, if Edmonton had played any of those other teams, would they have beat them? They're more...
What we saw a lot of throughout the playoffs, especially in Los Angeles, against and giving up the first two goals, is that they started winning games without depending on 97 and 29.
Right, they got help.
Right, yeah. They got help. Mm-hmm. And it was on the premise that that was going to continue in the final, and it just didn't. They all came back down to earth, including Kapanen and whether it's Arvidsson in the lineup or out.
Let's be real.
Connor Brown.
Missy Hyman's devastated.
Henrique.
Kane.
They all just fell off in the final series.
And today you wake up and it's like, okay, they're going to trade Evander Kane. You know, if you, Elliot reported that there'll be a market for him. That's the first one to fall. Klingberg's probably not going to come back.
Well, like, somebody will overpay Klingberg.
Yeah,
right?
He did enough to earn another shot somewhere. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you want to hear from McDavid after the game? I poured it through the 2:53.
I think we need to hear him.
Yeah, we do. It's definitely a good clip. Connor McDavid, clip one on the series, please, Derek.
I lost to a really good team. Nobody quit. Nobody threw the towel in. They're a heck of a team. You know, the Stanley Cup champions back to back for a reason.
What's the difference in the series?
I mean, obviously their forecheck was great. They tilted the rink. They were able to kind of stay on top of us all over the place. Never really able to generate any momentum up the ice. You know, we kept trying the same thing over and over again, just banging our heads against the wall. So credit to them. They played well.
Is that a criticism?
Is that a shot at the coach?
Yeah. I mean, it's a frustration that's probably valid. I think we watched a lot of teams against Florida.
What does he mean there, fellas?
To me, it's everyone kept going up the walls. Florida pinches hard down the walls.
It means we didn't make the proper adjustments.
Gregor, before the series, was like, should they flip their wingers and then have them on their offhand to get the puck to the middle? I didn't see him do anything. They just kept throwing the guys over the boards. And
when you think about Connor screaming and ranting in his viral moment last year, and then you hear him this year, it's as if to me he truly understands that we are possibly a worse team than we were last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think? I mean, they're both cripplingly heartbreaking, but I think last year having the momentum of coming back from 3-0 down and it having be a really close game 7 that was on a knife's edge and he had the puck at the top of the blue paint with a chance to score to make it 2-2. Like that was
supposed to kick in and build this year.
Yes, correct. And then
it didn't.
But they added Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson, lost guys to RFA offer sheets, and they didn't get better.
No.
They didn't improve enough.
Arvidsson's still under another year, is he not?
Yeah, but they healthy scratched him in playoffs, and he's got $4 million cap hit next year.
And Connor Brown has, I think,
Brown's a UFA.
I know that, but he had $4 million this year on the cap. Did he not?
Oh, that sounds possible.
$3 million.
Yeah.
I think it was like a.
I'll find it for you.
So between Brown and Arvidsson, it's like that was a ton of money to be.
It's just $1 million on.
There's three. I think. Yeah. I think there was cash or something there, but my point is that like you cannot have a mistake of healthy scratching a $4 million player.
No,
you know, and Brown and Arvidsson should have been looked upon as being similar players. I don't know where you needed Arvidsson.
And Borny, you did mention it sort of quietly there when we were talking about other stuff, but. No, Zach Hyman was a massive blow.
Yeah.
Like, and it deserves a little bit of a conversation that, like,
he's
their go-to guys outside of Connor and Leon.
I don't see him being the difference between winning and losing.
No, they didn't feel one guy away, but at least it definitely would have changed.
It just slots people in differently. And, like they could have maybe, I don't know, won one more game to see worth that. I'm not sure. But that is a big miss.
But I do think it's worth noting that this Florida team. The damage they did to teams when it came time to put them away, like winning both these games by 3 goals, what they did to the Leafs in games 5 and 7, you know, what they did to Carolina, they locked it down really tight. And here's one thing, they talked about intangibles and trust and all this team chemistry and leadership, all the stuff that hockey people hold dear seems to exist on that Panthers roster.
The thing that stands out for me the most is, you know, there's a couple of clips out there of Paul Maurice behind the bench screaming, pound these guys, pound these guys. And then there's the words of Matthew Tkachuk, who says that whether or not, you know, we need to go back up to Toronto in game seven or even take it to overtime, we know when we constantly play this way, it will turn in our favor. So when they get into those critical moments, there's an expectation of, number one, being calm, and number two, that we will come out on top. And we don't need to win it in four games, five games, six games. We can win it in seven if it's even overtime. And it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to truly believe it. And that's the difference in mentality between them and every other team that's looking on the outside right now.
Remember after the Leafs lost in game seven and Marchand talked about how he's like, about how we put too much pressure on the Leafs and all this stuff. He's like, this isn't even a big game. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is the second round. He's like, guys that have been there, like, it's a big game, like, sure, but, like, this isn't the final. He went on, like, a big, long thing, and it's like, they just rise. I don't know how you quantify their ability to rise to the occasion over these past three seasons.
Because I also think, Sam, it gets easier once you've done it. Once you've got that on your resume already and your opponent believes it, it's like prime Tiger where guys would just, like, roll over for him. It's like, this guy doesn't choke.
Like we got to see on Sunday afternoon when the rain delay.
Yes, it's nice. It is like seeing where eventually your opponent starts to beat themselves because they believe you're that true to your system. And it feels like that's where opponents of the Panthers are at this point.
I don't want to ask you about the coach of the Oilers, Knobloch.
We also have Panthers culture as a clip.
Before we move off past that, I wanted to play this clip for you and get your guys' opinion on it. I was listening through and I was surprised by this. Could you do clip one on being underdogs, please? Knobloch?
You know, talked to him earlier about being a resilient group. Like, we still had more last year just because our backs were against the wall more often. But going this year, you know, it was alluded earlier that we were an underdog throughout the playoffs, and for us to get to game six of the Stanley Cup final being a bunch of underdogs is a pretty good accomplishment. Unfortunately, it's it hurts just because we felt that we could have won it all, and you know, getting so close last year and getting so close this year, you know, I just a lot had fallen into place, and it did very early in the playoffs, so I'm very, very happy about the guys. They gave a tremendous effort.
Underdogs.
Revisionist!
That's like,
you ain't first, you're last.
They were just, like, cup favorites preseason.
That's like Nick Saban, like, maybe he's like, Alabama, no one believes in us. Yeah. We're underdogs everywhere. It's like,
you're in the cup final game seven last year. Everyone believed in you.
Were they favored in, like, we did game time all the time. They were favored in a lot of games.
Yeah. That's a coach being like, we did pretty good, actually.
Like, that's exactly what
board going around for Sportsnet picks.
Yes.
It was all Oilers.
Yeah. 100%.
Except for Nick Kiprios, who picked the stinking Panthers. God. Oh, you picked the defending Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah, so my 8-year-old son, right? He was like, the team that just won, probably.
I've never really, like, retweeted anything, but I did retweet one person last night who saw my pick the moment it came out on Sportsnet and said, in regards of if your pick wins one round, I'll buy you pizza and send it to Walmart where you'll be working.
Is that why you wore a blue shirt today?
Walmart has a Pizza Hut in it.
The moment the game ended, I sent him a tweet back with an emoji of a pizza slice.
I love it.
And that was it.
Yeah,
that's funny.
He was a good sport about it, though.
But just, what do you make of him saying that? Is that what it is? Like, we actually did great, and like, I shouldn't be questioned at all. Like,
it reminds me of, we got a lot of respect in the handshake line.
Yeah, it's very eerily similar to me.
I don't know. I mean, it's clearly a defense mechanism that kind of kicks in, but
I think they deserve credit for a great playoff.
It's not reality to sit there and go that we never believed that they could truly beat the Florida Panthers. I mean,
every team they played could have beat them. L.A. was good. Vegas was good. Dallas was good. They had a great playoff.
They didn't sneak into a final They went through the front door.
They steamrolled the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Right? No questions asked.
Yeah.
Who's the best team in the Western Conference? Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, but they weren't underdogs.
And I think statistically when we did game time, they were like, it was like minus 115 to minus 105. Like it was a pick-em series in the finals.
Yeah.
Can they get back there again? The Oilers?
How do you see them possibly being better? How do they get better? So they need a goalie, right? The Skinner thing did not work. That, by the way, that killed them last night.
You can't let in the first goal.
No, Reinhardt goes the game. forehand, backhand, and chops it over his glove. He's not within a foot of touching it. The one, Reinhardt's second goal, where he just blockers it lazily in front of him.
This is such a sweet goal.
Falling down, too.
But, like, he can't go many places there. Like, that one's so... Oof.
And you know what's even worse is that he's so upright on it. You know, he doesn't get back down and ready off the rebound.
Right.
He doesn't get back in position. Okay. He stays up, like, lazily.
Yeah. No, you know what? So I was texting with Steve Valiquette during the game last night, and we didn't get to have him. He was in Italy.
And he was texting you?
Yeah, he was eating a burrata.
What the hell?
He's in the villa.
So he's watching, but he won't come on? What the hell?
I had to put in a call. I'm going to ask him this story, but I said something about how the Skinner blocker play, didn't love it. And he said anything they shot on him at this point, he would have made a mess of it. Like he said, you just get to a point where you're brain fried. He told me this story about it happening to him, and we'll get it from him. But Skinner was just... mentally
gone,
rolled over at that point. You know, he just had nothing left to give.
You saw him skating off the ice after the first period, and he's just hanging his head. And I mean, like, if you're one of the guys on the bench, you're like, gee, we're done. Yeah. We're done.
Wasn't inspiring.
Well, their first priority is to make sure 97 signs July 1st. Is it not?
Well, I don't think, Kip, it's going to be July 1st. I don't think there's... urgency on that.
Well, for Edmonton, let it not be July 1st.
It won't be July 1st. Right?
I see nothing but a constant distraction.
Yeah.
July 2nd.
I'll get in trouble for saying this. It feels to me that Canadian players are less likely to do that. Like, I feel like there's this loyalty. He's in Canada. He's a Canadian kid. Like, I feel like it's going to be less likely that he says, I can't take this. I want to go somewhere else. Like,
yeah, McKinnon did it. Sid did it. Like, it's just like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Just kind of just does it.
Just, you know, and you think about, like, all right, Tkachuk did it. Feels like Quinn Hughes is doing it. Feels like Jack Eichel did it.
Yeah.
You know, it feels, I don't know, like, why I feel like it's like a Canadian hockey player. It's like,
I can't get a read on it.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm only telling you, I'd be guessing to say that he wants to stay or he wants to go.
Yeah. I mean, reading some of the Oilers blogs today, I don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion that he's re-signing, but there's a lot of good points of why he wants to win. They're a team that can get to the final, and as they're presently constructed, are very, very good. Leon re-signed.
I don't know how good they are, JB. I really don't know how good they are. They're
good teams in the
playoffs. I know they did. I know. But they could have as many as six new players. And are they going to be better or worse? They don't have a goalie. Mm-hmm. Hyman comes back, of course, which is huge.
By the way, would you keep Skinner as a backup? He only makes 2.5, and he's played Stanley Cup Finals games. And
A really tough ask for the fans or even for him to go back and say, I'm sorry that you guys wasted 2 years on me, but I'm going to be a backup goalie now. And that's where I'm really comfortable. It's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Everybody,
I would love Skinner as a backup on my team, but on the team where you've been burned twice, it's really hard to look at that.
Yeah. And I don't know. In 3 or 4 years from now, we could be looking at these two losses and saying that's the closest they ever got.
And you know what?
That's the danger of Connor still.
That's what would terrify
re-upping
me.
Is that your window may have closed temporarily and you might need 4 or 5 years to get back.
And also Pickard goaltended just as well as he did, and he only makes $1 million next year. You might as well just, even though he's older, you might as well just say, hey, you do it for $1 million and we'll save 1.6.
And they're going to have to make, there's some talk about a Frederick contract extension out there. Did Elliot put something out today?
Yeah, he said
did
that
he say something?
They're working on an 8-year deal or something. 8-year
deal.
That,
yeah, I think
that,
he said that with the Fan Hockey Show guys.
I don't know why you need to go 8 years.
Don't really understand that either. Listen, I'm not comparing these two, but it reminds me of Engvall, where it's like, who are you bidding against to say 8?
Played 80 games this year and he scored 9 goals.
I mean, I like Frederick, and to be honest, if they wanted to give him 2 a year for 8 years, I'd take him on my team too, but
I doubt that's what it's going to be.
The other one that's concerning here is a lot of talk about Evan Bouchard commanding as much as $10 or $11 million.
And how could he not?
I like Bouchard, but I just don't know if I can win a Stanley Cup with him. I'll be honest.
Absolutely, you can. Absolutely. I think if you look at that decor, I would rather give Bouchard the $10 million and then find a way to trade like Nurse or something like that. Like, you know, move Kane, free the money up
for sure.
Bouchard.
Like, for sure, you can win with Bouchard, but you can't do it him being like the absolute go-to guy on the blue line.
Yeah.
That he just doesn't
Ekholm
play.
Ekholm let them down a bit, I thought.
Well, Ekholm was also out for a very long time.
He didn't look like himself.
I mean,
he's 35 too, Kip.
He got walked multiple times in big spots where he didn't look very mobile and he didn't look like he was at his best at all. So
if there are signs of Ekholm now declining,
35.
Like take a look at that blue line for Connor in the next 3 or 4 years.
Like Wallman.
It is absolute paramount that you have to change it up somewhat, and I like your thought of getting Nurse's $9 million out, but you're going to have to find a stud, shutdown guy that can complement the boo-boos every once in a while from Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, and in fairness, he cleaned those up pretty good in playoffs. I don't know.
Last few games, they were back.
Yeah.
They were back.
But, you know, they like Wallman's 29, and he's good for them. Kulak is 31, and he was pretty good for them. And then it's Emberson, Stetcher. This decor surprised me the whole way around. They were the top point-per-game decor in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And every time I look at that decor, I'm like, okay, I guess.
And then the Florida Panthers just ground them to dust with that forecheck. You know, it's just like they can't.
Forsling. Where did he come from? Waivers to shutting down, like, Connor McDavid?
Dmitry Filipovich, who does some work with Sportsnet, and I think he has a podcast with us, he put out an 8-minute mixtape of his defensive prowess. It's absurd.
Yeah.
He is as shut down as it absolutely gets, and to get him off waivers... I love watching him play.
Better than getting him off waivers. He's 29 and he makes 5.75 until the year 2032.
Think about that. Think about if he was going to become a UFA.
Yeah, 12.
12.
You know, like maybe not 12.
11.
Nine, but
he'd be in the same conversation as like a Pesci.
Yeah,
oh, not Pesci. I'm thinking
Slavin.
Of Slavin. Thank you. Wrong guy. Yeah.
Slavin,
right? But I don't know.
You know, one thing I was thinking the other day is the money we spend on these players, not we, the league spends on players, is so not correlated with how much they're valued. You know, you look at Team Canada just named like a Sidney Crosby or whatever, but Sid makes 8.7 and Sam Reinhardt makes 8 and 3.6. And, you know, you value Forsling so much, but because he doesn't have the points, they're not going to give him that kind of money, you know, Bouchard money. It's like, who'd you rather have in this series? It's more than that.
It's a timing thing. It is all about your timing. It's about when you peak, when you can sell yourself at the highest. And now Bennett couldn't have timed it any better, right?
Yeah.
But you know, Forsling was offered a security the rest of his life.
He was
waiver claim, just like who
right?
got
and
caught on.
And you don't forget where you came from, so you don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, and. He gladly took a long-term deal last year. When did he do it?
He signed it.
Beginning of last year, maybe?
March 7th, 2024.
Okay. Yes.
Jeez.
And it's like, good enough for me.
Yeah, and it's great.
Of course he knows it was
Florida money. They're a good team.
It's a mistake, you know, hindsight. But
it's a mistake by 50%.
But it's a mistake that could make double the money. But it's also a mistake that could make him a three-time Stanley Cup champion or a four-time Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah, you do that in Toronto, that's worth a lot of money. Do that in Florida, you get cheap beers at the Elbow
Room,
apparently.
Nico Mikkola? Where's he? You got one more year.
Yeah.
You love Nico.
Me too. I was on this guy.
I'm a Nico fan.
You love this guy.
He's got one year left at 2.5.
Yeah. That one's going to – and how old is he?
You're getting Kulikov at 1.15. Mikkola's 29. He's also 60.
And they got Seth Jones, who's just how old now?
Seth Jones has just found it. $7 million they're going to pay him after the retention. He's going to be till 2030.
They could be a three-time in a row.
What do you think Ekblad does?
Leaves.
So he's the one that I think if anyone leaves. However –
No, Mark.
Bart Marchand.
Marchand.
We'll leave. I think he's kind of an essential piece of their DNA, Ekblad. Because he's like this, he's this nasty back-end defender who has a 57-point season on his resume. He scored some big goals in this playoff run. Yeah. In Tampa Bay, he scored a really big goal.
How old is he?
He's only 29. Is that right, Justin? Yes, he's only 29.
Oh, he could be. Yeah, he could be looking at a 7-year deal.
For sure. Somebody else. I'd give it to him in a heartbeat.
Would you give him, eight times seven?
Yes.
Yeah,
I would.
Okay.
And then you find a way to move Morgan Riley, and you have him instead of Morgan Riley.
I have a theory that defensemen with pedigree, high draft pick D-man, who people thought were going to be a player, are better longer. Like, you know, you're going to get good 30s out of these guys. And Ekblad is a little more injury prone, so that makes me a little hesitant saying that with him. But 6'4", 215, good offensive sense, nasty.
Do you guys want to do game time? And then on the other side of the break, get in some clips?
Sure.
Because I had some really good clips. We haven't mentioned the guy who scored 4 goals in the game. So that was pretty cool.
There you go, Sam.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Plus 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So I quickly went on to Bet365 while you guys were talking to check out the Stanley Cup favorites for 25-26.
It better be Florida.
Who do you think?
Everybody's jumping on my bandwagon.
Who do you think the favorite is?
Florida.
No.
Edmonton?
No. Well, Colorado? Edmonton is tied.
Colorado, Dallas,
Dallas,
Vegas.
No, Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Stop it.
If they get a single bet on that, I would be floored.
Stop it.
What? No.
What is it? What's the payout?
It's 7-1.
All right. I need people who bet on hockey stuff to listen to me and. The books need to not listen for a sec. Hold on.
Okay.
Right before, you'll get the same odds before the Stanley Cup playoffs you're going to get now. You can get a whole bunch of information on teams before you place that bet. Unless you're betting a long shot today because you think someone's going to sign there. Don't bet it.
So can I say something that made me very worried about this as I looked down the list to see where the Toronto Maple Leafs were?
Top 10? Not even?
They're 20-1. Like
that's the longest they've been.
Panthers, the Stars, the Golden Knights, the Lightning, the Devils, the Kings, all ahead of them. And I didn't love that.
Who do you disagree with? The Devils, maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought I would bring that up because I think it's hilarious that the Carolina Hurricanes are favored.
Where are the Oilers in that?
They're tied 7-1.
Are they pricing in Marner signing in Carolina? Is that what that is?
Maybe. What do they know?
More than us.
And tonight, down at Rogers Center, the Toronto Blue Jays will look to win the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Eric Lauer on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. It is a pick-em minus 110 on both sides. Blue Jays with an unbelievable win last night. You'll hear all about it right after us with Blair and Barker.
Another killer bees.
Barger, sickest arms in the league. So Jays are getting hot against these kind of crappy teams at home.
Bye, bicep.
And Jeremy. Wow, those are pretty sick.
Come on over and swing on the monkey bars.
I've seen bigger arms on a snake than over here. Anyways, that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the odds to find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
All right, it's never too early after a Stanley Cup has been dished out to talk about
pending what a beautiful
free
show.
Agents.
Yes, we are. By the way, I just want to say I love that Barkov did like the European soccer bring this it low awesome. To the boys.
Awesome.
That's a really great.
And look at them all. They're so happy. And I hate these guys, and I'm so happy for them.
Hey, how about passing it around first to the guys that haven't won it yet?
That was a real team move, too.
Come on.
The fans are like, hooray! Guy,
I
don't know.
You can't hate this team.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I do.
Like Marchand, no, you cannot. Those guys didn't touch it for
you're looking
10
at it.
You're
guys.
Jealous, but you oh. don't hate them.
Cripplingly jealous. Duh.
That's what this is.
Free agent talk next when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Nick Kyprios.
And I'm Justin Bourne.
We're diving deep into everything happening in Leafland and the biggest stories around the NHL.
Real Kipper and Bourne, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Sam Reinhart.
Stud.
4 goals last night. I don't know. When was the last time that happened? Like 18, 12?
Sam Reinhart became the second player in NHL history with 4 goals in a Stanley Cup clinching win, following Babe Dye, 1922, with the Toronto St. Patrick's.
You know, not enough dudes getting named Babe anymore.
overall, he is the 4th player in NHL history with 3-plus goals to clinch a cup. Mark Stone in 2023, Dye, and Jack Dara with the 1920 Ottawa Senators.
That's a pretty good old-timey
Thank
voice.
Thank you.
So he took he was taking a little heat, for him and Barkov a little bit for not scoring in these playoffs. But when you're so well-balanced, it's like they don't have a 1, 2, and 3 line. They got like a 1A, 1B, and 1C line.
You know, I will say those 4 goals really changed the way his playoff numbers looked this year. Because, without that, he only had 7 goals in 21 games. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's 11. It's
like, see, the one thing.
4 goals in a Stanley Cup clinching
see,
game.
See, and he's a Selke candidate, isn't he? On?
Second place.
All right. And he's constantly close. There with Barkov.
Yeah.
He did go from 57 goals to 39. But when I watch him. He always plays the same way for goal scorer, and Draisaitl has this a little bit too, and I saw it in the finals that there's an element when you're expected to score that you got to get your cookies, you got to even cheat when you have to blow the zone. You know how I feel about all that stuff, and there are times when I watch Draisaitl in these finals where he's pressing and and there's an element to he's the one guy that I can watch and know for sure he ain't cheating.
No.
So
and
if
that's
he
why Team Canada loves him.
And if he goes from 57 to 39 goals, he doesn't care.
40 goals
whereas some goal scorers would go, oh my God, that's a horrific. Yeah. I can't stomach the thought of me only scoring 39 goals after I know I'm a 50 or 60 goal scorer.
I gotta tell you though, watching that highlight pack, and of course we do think about the Leafs here often. Watching Barkov, Skinner, it's 2-1, 2-0. Skinner blockers that one to him. Barkov walks into it. It's like Clapper City. He can step into it. And he's just, got the poise and vision. Just be like, if you look when he's getting the puck, Reinhardt's not open. He's coming around a guy. Yeah. And he sees it developing, makes a little backdoor play.
A lot like he did with Verhaeghe against Carolina when,
yes.
He passed it to a play that wasn't there yet.
Yeah. It's just like, their offensive guys aren't one-dimensional. They can pass it. They can shoot it.
What a play. Let's play the clip from Maurice number 2, Derek, on Barkov and Reinhart.
I think Barkov got better. I don't want to go through the injury list, but in game 1, Sash just split his hand, the palm of his hand, for 13.
Ooh.
And he had those sutures torn out twice till he just glued it together. So that had something to do with his point production. Sam Reinhart had a grade two MCL in the Carolina series and took some days off. It took him a few games to get back to health. I think they were both just healthy. But if you're Sam Reinhart, how good's your story? You scored a game winner in game 7 in overtime last year and you bang in 4. Nobody's going to say whether it's their goalie in that. Nobody's going to care. He just scored 4 goals. Well, that's a pretty good story.
I like that clip.
Barkov had 22 points.
So true,
points
eh?
In
four goals.
Games.
Doesn't
matter. How many were in?
Who
were
cares?
A goalie?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to ask.
I got four, bud. They went in.
Four
across the line in the Stanley Cup clinching game.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Barkov was a point per game guy. Hey, pretty good.
They could end up with six Hall of Famers on this team.
That's what I was going to ask you guys.
Six.
Gunner texted me last night and asked me how many Stanley
six.
Cup. Six?
Well,
six.
You're talking Marchand's in there, obviously.
Yes.
Right?
Marchand.
Yeah.
Reinhart.
Barkov.
Barkov. Bobrovsky.
Kachuk.
Kachuk?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Kachuk.
Yeah,
two times Stanley
heading.
Cup champion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, I'll tell you another
Are you
guy.
Say
that
Forsling?
Can... No, no, okay. No. I will throw out Carter Verhaeghe.
Whoa.
Yeah, I will. I will. And longevity. Longevity will have to be a key for him. Mm-hmm. But another Stanley Cup, and he gets his playoff numbers up. And guys, I'm telling you, for me, I appreciate the conversation on other players, if they're Hall of Famers or not. And, you know, because we cover the Toronto Maple Leafs and Tavares's numbers, mm-hmm. his regular season numbers are Hall of Fame worthy. But he's never played a big game in the playoffs in his career.
If he were to ever, you know, let's say, played eight more years, his
what's that?
You need to. Well, he's only played 400 NHL games.
I just had a physical reaction to somebody sent us a picture of Barkov's hand.
Oh yeah,
someone
yeah.
tweeted it to us. It's very
you know,
gross. Sorry.
That to me is Hall of Fame. Is playing big in big games.
He's played six seasons in the NHL so far. Carter Verhaeghe, yeah. 29 years old, has three Stanley Cups.
Three Stanley Cups.
I didn't
think
realize
about
he
that.
Played eight games for that Tampa team.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so right. when I was with the Marlies, he was with Syracuse, and we played them in playoffs. And I remember writing his name up on the board that he's 24 at that point, and he's still not in the NHL, and going, yeah, this kid's all right. He's, you know, he's an effective player for them.
Play another 7-8 years. If he wins another cup or two, he's got no problem looking big. He plays hard, too. Like, he plays
he's clutch.
So hard on the forecheck. He's a guy that could, for me, could get in there one day.
If everything went right.
If everything went right one day.
Great.
Ekblad?
No. Career.
No.
Maybe. Why?
I don't know.
Why? I mean, why can't
he? It all depends how long this Panthers run goes on for. Are they going to be the 80s Islanders?
If you can build cups and get your games played into the 150 mark of playoff games and you're a 20-minute guy, just don't look at goals and assists, boys.
It's funny. Reinhart and Kachuk and Verhaeghe all finished with 23 points, which is 10 points behind the Leon and Connor, who both had 33. So first place is 33 points. The two Oilers guys, 10 points later, are the steady Reinhart, Kachuk, Verhaeghe, Bennett at 22. So they had four guys all just sniffing right underneath there.
Sam Bennett?
Barkov, 22. Marchand, 20.
Sam Bennett.
Wow.
Conn Smythe. How about this stat? Became the second player in NHL history to score 15-plus goals in a postseason without any 30-goal regular seasons on his resume to that point. First in more than a century. Newsy Lalonde, 17 in 1919 with the Montreal Canadiens.
Is it actually Newsy Lalonde?
Yes.
Oh, that's the joke name.
Kind of is.
No, it is Newsy Lalonde.
So if you had Sam Bennett before the playoffs for Conn Smythe.
Oh, my God.
For $20.
You'd be rich.
I actually saw someone that bet $37 or something on it and won over $4,000.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it was.
That's a nice payday.
Sweet. Yeah.
It was a long shot, but there he is.
So you see the elbow room this morning, Kip?
No,
they're all drunk.
They're still there.
Well, they were drunk.
Are they watching? Congratulations, guys!
Yeah.
I picked you.
I'll flip another finger for you guys. You guys can flip those ones. They were chanting eight more years, eight more years. Everybody's chanting eight more years.
At who?
At Sam Bennett. And Sam Bennett's taking part going eight more years.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry did that too, didn't he? Or no, Kawhi. Kawhi. That's
Kawhi
what I was thinking
did.
Of. Yeah.
You see any scenario where he doesn't end up re-signing there?
Zilch.
None.
Zero scenario.
Here's what I was thinking this morning. It's like there are all these myriad reasons why people make the choices they make about where they want to sign. What doesn't Florida offer him? What's not there? What can't he get there that he could get somewhere else?
Money.
If it were only about money is the only answer.
That's it.
If they want to give him 8x8 or something and someone else wants to give him 7x10.
8x8's better than 7x10. Money.
What?
Depending on the market. It's better than Toronto's 10.
Yeah,
Eight in Florida is better than Toronto's 10.
Yeah, so I got some quibbles with how we it's pass over some of that stuff without doing the actual. John Tavares won his case the other day, which he only had to pay 15% on his signing bonus instead of 50. That helps Canadian athletes, and I think it helps the appeal.
Good
for him. Yeah. He won something.
It's not about him. It's about, in Canada,
the
our
perception.
Teams. No, I mean perception. In the reality that if you sign with the Blue Jays or the Raptors or whoever.
Yeah, there's ways to get around things.
Right.
There's an RCA, they call, where
I
you
think
could.
That's what his thing was.
Where
right?
you could put money away and reclaim it after your tax bracket goes down.
There are ways anyway. So anyway, the point is, I don't know if it's as clear necessarily.
So there are three big name free agents now. Sam Bennett, I think we all agree stays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marchand, we all agree go.
Yes. They can't afford him.
And Ekblad, we all agree stay or go?
I think he stays. You're not as sure? I think Florida's going to have some say.
I'm not sure.
Too.
I'm not sure they want to offer him 8 years.
Because of injury?
Yeah, I think he's been beat up a little bit too. I'm not sure if they're there. Maybe he doesn't want all 8 years. I don't know. But I think he's very comfortable there.
God, he really lifted that cup up great last night. He really got
so
it up there
strong.
Fast.
56 games this year, 51 the year before, 71, 61, 35, 67. He hasn't played 82 games.
No. He's always been a bit of a...
But in playoffs, 19, 24, 20, he's playing.
Playoff performer. Playoff performer.
Oh, huge. He had that big rest, too.
It doesn't hurt.
Really good call taking 30 games off.
Which didn't count against their cap.
Was it 20 or 30?
20.
And it was the funniest thing after he said he's like the healthiest he's ever been or something like that. It was like,
yeah, I bet.
Miracle.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet he was.
Do you want to hear Bennett on Brad Marchand? Is that anything? What do you like, Sammy? You listen
to
all these.
I did listen to them all. I really like Bennett on the Panthers culture. I know it's going to make me sick, but it's a really good clip. Clip one on the Panthers culture from Bennett, please.
I mean, it starts with the culture here. There's a way that we do things here, and it's not easy. We don't play an easy style of hockey. It demands a lot out of you. But I think the main, I mean, every single guy's bought into it. But you know, once the new guys come in, they instantly bought into this, what we do here, and the commitment to being great, to winning. Every single guy just really bought into that. And I mean, it starts with the culture, but the character of the guys, I think that's why we're able to do this.
Okay, he's wrong. It doesn't start with the culture. It starts with a man who sets the culture. I give a ton of credit to Bill Zito.
I mean, he's done an unbelievable job.
Seth Jones is
he built a management team, guys.
Yeah, he's definitely playing with a different set of rules than everybody else, but he's doing a good job with them.
Oh, my God.
Doing the best he can.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's six straight finals for a Florida team, including four wins.
They've been very
There's
good.
Something there. But
anybody could be successful then there, eh? Anybody.
He's done a great job. No question. No question. Unbelievable job. With some advantages. But I think, like, you kind of think of going into this offseason, I think culture is always like a buzzword and like trying to build
it. Can't go sign a guy and fix your own. I know that.
But that's now, I feel like that's going to be a huge, everyone's looking for the culture. It's like you're looking for, you just can never replicate this mix of guys.
No.
It's just the most perfect mix of guys. And they're an all-time team now. Three straight finals, two cup wins. Like they are a modern-day dynasty.
Of the last 17 Stanley Cups that have been won, five teams have won 12 of them. So it's three for Pittsburgh, three for Chicago, two for LA, two for Tampa, two for Florida. Like, only five teams are one.
It's hard to get your name on a Stanley Cup.
Well, these guys are hogging it.
Yeah. It's typically that's the way it's gone throughout history.
Parity, by the way, is a very real thing, but the best teams, they're winning pretty consistently.
Yeah. That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
That's
good job,
it.
Boys.
Our thanks to nobody.
Us.
It's just us.
Yeah.
We thank the
Panthers,
three of
to
us.
The Oilers.
Congratulations to the Florida Panthers. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. We're going to take this show right to the end of the month, and then we go first week in July. So plenty more on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Quick, shout out Jonah Gadjevich, own sound attack legend, for winning the Stanley Cup last night. Attaboy.
We're back again tomorrow on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great night, everybody.